Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. And Charles, first off, great to talk to you. I know it's been a tough week and a half for everyone down in Texas. Just how are you? What's it been like down there during this time?
It was crazy. It was, Joe and I obviously grew up in Michigan, and it's not unusual for, to get buried in any given day in Michigan, and your life moves on, and the power stays on. You go to work, you go to school, whatever. But, we got about an inch of snow down here, and, temperatures dropped into the, low teens, and it just sustained for a few days. The next thing you knew, it was just, the power turned out, they turned the water off. I mean, everything in the city basically ground to a halt, and, people were scrambling for hotels. We tried to duke it out for about a day and a half, and the house hit, literally the interior of the house was 33 degrees, and I was like, we can't do this. I was like, I can't. I mean, there was, we were dripping the faucets. It was freezing in the sinks, and, we got a couple of dogs, and we bailed. We found a hotel that was near, so my significant other, she's a nurse, and it was about a block from her hospital, and no running water, but we got heat, and we were able to walk to the hospital to use the bathroom for a few days. So it was pretty crazy. I've never seen the entire city, particularly one of the five largest cities in the United States, basically completely shut down over, low temps and an inch of snow. But that's how it works here. The power grid is not particularly great in the wintertime. And if everybody turns their heat, at least what we were told, if everybody turns their heat on at once, it's all going to collapse, and it's going to take, weeks, if not months, to sort that kind of thing out. So that's apparently why they turned everything off.
So what kind of a rate do you get at a hotel with no running water?
Well, it was $160 a night, and believe me, that was cheap. Like, it was like hotels were flying, and I heard the horror stories of people paying, upwards of $400-$600 a night. And I literally, after the first day of trying to, we slept through it, and then the next day, when I started to call around, everything was booked. Like, everything was booked solid. And particularly if you have dogs, and because a lot of hotels aren't dog friendly. So I literally at one point I was like, forget it. I'm calling I called the Four Seasons. It was like $500-$600 a night, and I'm thinking, come on, that's not booked, right? Like, there's no way. And I mean, they basically laughed at me on the phone. They're like, bro, we've been booked for a good 24 hours. So it was the no running water thing was a struggle. And then when we actually finally had our everything got turned off on Monday. By Friday, we had the power and the water was back. But the city was under a boil order. So technically we weren't supposed to take showers, but on Saturday I was like, you know what? I was like, I can't, I'm not going another day without a shower. I was like, if something falls off, it falls off. So I took my shower on Saturday, and the boil order was lifted on Sunday. And so we're pretty much back to normal, but, I have like a rental house. The water main busted, and like thankfully it broke outside the house, not in the house. And so there's still, some sort of cleaning up the pieces and everything. I will say this: I never understood like what sleeping in 30 degree weather was like. And once I did it, I was like, yeah, there's no way. Like I feel for people in the city who don't have the ability to go rent a hotel for $160 a night, and had to really tough it out. And I understand why people are so extremely upset in Texas right now, because you depend on, if it's a failure, it's one thing. If it's like literally the state turning off the power, it's another thing. And I think that's why people are so monumentally pissed off, is just because this was it was a situation where they turned the power off, and you don't expect in a time where people could potentially freeze, it could be life threatening. And there were some people who lost their lives. But it's the state just flipping the switch.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable. Charles, it's been a heck of a run here, a brutal run.
Yeah.
Really sorry about Therese Paylor. And I we've talked some about this, and for people who, watch you guys, your podcast is amazing together, a fantastic guy. And you wrote, you write a lot of great things, but I thought that the tribute you wrote to him was really spectacular. I guess I just want to give you the condolences here and anything you want to say about Therese.
Yeah, it was a really tough loss. Known Therese now. I mean, he joined us about 3 years ago. Knew him a little bit before that, just sort of visiting Kansas City, bumping into him every once in a while, but really became close to him the last 3 years. Obviously, we had the podcast together. And, just one of the all-time great dudes. Like, I think I what I tried to say is, this was a guy who, he rarely ever had a bad day. And, pretty much everybody who spent any time with him, really walked away with a great positive impression, worked really hard, loved football. I mean, probably loved football as much as any football writer I've ever met, in the last 20 years. And, it was surreal. The guy just had his 37th birthday, the Monday after the Super Bowl, we recorded our podcast together, spent some time afterward talking to each other on Zoom, and, everything was great. We were talking about the off season and plans and, about 5-6 o'clock the next morning, my phone's ringing and, I reach for it and I look and I see it's Al Tobey, Joe and I went to college at Michigan State with Al, and I saw that he had texted me at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. And I didn't even read the text because I'm figuring, okay, well, if he's calling and he already texted me a couple times, something's going on. And, Al had told me that Therese had passed away, that night. And, I think one of the things I said is, I'm sad to have lost my friend, but I'm really sad because I know that he was just starting the best part of his life. He was engaged to be married. He and his fiance Ebony had just bought a house in Kansas City. I think he'd really gotten his feet under him as a national reporter. And, I remember at that point in my life, it's probably in my mid-30s where I really felt settled with where I was as a person and my relationship and all these things. And I look back over the last maybe 10 years of my life, I'm like, that's the best 10 years of my life. And I feel like he really was just, kicking that off. And so to lose him was, really awful. I've gotten to know his parents though. I've talked quite a bit to Ebony, and I'm actually going to fly to Detroit tomorrow for his funeral services, but I've gotten to know his parents quite a bit over the last week or so. And I mean, just unbelievably great people. And, I will just say to all the parents out there, like it's, there's no doubt in my mind it reflects, the kind of parents he had and what made him, such a great guy. Once I had a chance to really spend a lot of time talking to his parents, you could see, where it all came from. So we always say the cliche, like, hey, you never know, you got to sort of live every day like it could be your last. And it is a cliche, but I will say, just having spent that Monday with him, for a good 2 hours, it was remarkable to see how happy he was in life and, all the plans he had laid out before him. And then the next day, for him to be gone was a very, stark reminder for myself, that, I gotta treat every day a little bit better than I probably do.
Yeah. Very, very, very well said. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, tough to transition from that, but I will try here.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Carson.
Trust me, it's been a transition.
Oh, yeah.
I totally get it.
For sure. So, I mean, the news, Carson Wentz going to Indianapolis. Yeah. What did you think of that move? What do you think that does for the Colts in the AFC South?
Well, it made a lot of sense. I think everybody assumed that the Colts would be the team that he would land with. I know there was some talk about the Bears because John DeFilippo's there, had some overlap with him on the Philly staff. But, when I talked to people who are inside the Philly organization and out, what it came down to was he was going to get dealt to a place if he was dealt, to someone who was familiar with him and felt like he could fix him. And I don't think of all the people out there, Frank Reich, having been with Carson during that season when he, you know, I think he could have made a run for the MVP had he not got injured, and then they, you know, they won the Super Bowl. But the thing that I think is interesting about Frank is, you know, I don't know a lot of people know this, but when you talk to people inside the Philly organization, Carson's pretty hard-headed. And he can be really stubborn and at times difficult to coach just in terms of, you know, him cleaning up mechanics and staying focused and a lot of these different things. And I think some of that was they had so many ex-quarterbacks on staff. I was always told that, hey, there were a lot of cooks in the kitchen with Carson, and I think it frustrated him. And so, you know, when things kind of fell apart with Doug Peterson, a lot of them not talking, and I know Adam Schefter finally put it out there, but I had heard the same thing, that they literally didn't speak for like 2 months. There were no substantial conversations between Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. And, you know, I think Frank Reich was the guy who was not in that bubble, you know, when things really were going badly. And so Frank has some distance to it. And so it's a little bit of a fresh start there with he and Frank Reich. For Indianapolis, it makes sense. You're talking about what amounts to a two-year window for the Colts, you know, modest pay considering how much the salary cap hit the Eagles absorbed. And you know, to give up what is essentially, you know, what I believe is going to end up being just a second and a third. We'll see, you know, how things graduate in terms of his play and what could escalate that other pick. But it's about what you were going to get for him. I laughed when people were like, oh, well, they're asking for two first-round picks. I'm like, okay, well, they must ask for a flight to the moon, too, because they're not going to get that. So I think for everybody involved, it's probably a best-case scenario. It was clear after Doug exited and they hired Nick Sirianni. My impression, especially given what Jeffrey Lurie had said publicly, the Eagles owner, I was like, okay, they're going to try and fix them, and they're going to try and tough this out themselves. But I think the thing that was sort of lost in all that was he wasn't just upset at Doug Peterson. I think he was upset at the entire franchise. He felt like the GM, Howie Roseman, had sort of stabbed him in the back when he drafted Jalen Hurts. I think he felt like the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, you know, could have had his back and impressed himself a little bit more into the situation. And I think he'd sort of, you know, even the fan base, I think he felt like, I know he said his, you know, his goodbye to Philly, but I think he was just burnt on the city and the team itself. So, it makes some sense, I guess. This has been a weird, I'll be honest with you, I've never seen anything like what's happening right now. You know, so many, hey, Russell Wilson, maybe you can have him if you got three first-round picks. Hey, Deshaun Watson, you got three first-round picks and some players. Sam Darnold, you know, I mean, you know, Drew Brees, you know, if he decides to, you know, not retire, what position does that put the Saints in? Hey, Ben Roethlisberger could get cut. Like, I called it the great quarterback migration of 2021, but this is just, I don't even know how to explain this. Like, at one point I was talking to Sean Payton about this, and, you know, he's like, well, it's not a trend yet. He's like, it's not, you know, this is just 1 year. It's not like this is, you know, I don't know if this is going to happen often, but I don't, again, this has never happened before. You've never seen a situation where so many teams have been either willing to bail on guys for picks or completely change the calculus of their core by moving a quarterback. I've never seen anything happen like that before. So I don't know what plays into it. I don't know if it's just guys have the mentality now where they're like, you know, if we salary cap wise, if the, you know, things are elevated financially so much, we got to be willing to move on from guys. Or in situations like the Rams, when they dump Goff, Sean McVay just decided I can't win a Super Bowl with this guy. We topped out. We did what we could do. He's not keeping up with my offensive changes. Once he made that decision, when you talk to people inside the Rams, they were like, it was completely over. There's no way to ever repair in Sean McVay's mind. That situation with the quarterback. But man, the NFL is just wild now. This is just complete craziness, and there's still more ahead. You know, Dak Prescott, like, what are the Cowboys going to do with Dak Prescott? It's going to be a huge offseason storyline.
Talking to Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, Michigan State legend, also Charles Robinson. So I shared your tweet, Charles, the picture from what you said in your tweet, a very popular Houston restaurant, reserved for anybody other than Jack Easterby for social distancing. Which,
yeah.
It's amazing that he is like, why wouldn't it be Cal McNair? You know what I mean? Like, why is Jack Easterby like the focal point? I understand that obviously he's been like disruptive and people don't like him, but That's interesting. Yeah. But I also want to ask you on Watson. Like, apparently the hard line is coming out. Nope, not trading him, which I don't buy at all. But I don't know. Right. Do you have any different thoughts on how that may go?
Well, I mean, in terms of Easterby, I think in the city, everyone's looking for the point where things went really wrong. Like, I think people were upset with Bill O'Brien. They wanted him fired. You know, and then he had brought in Jack Easterby. Not a lot of people understood who he was. Every time anything gets written about him, it's like, okay, well, he started off with the team chaplain with the Patriots. Nobody gets that. Like, literally, there are people in personnel who, as he elevated himself, and then particularly when he basically took over, so it was Bill O'Brien, the coach GM, and then number three, I guess, beyond Bill O'Brien 1 and Bill O'Brien 2 was Jack Easterby. Well, there are guys across the league who were like, I don't get this. They're like, what is going on? Like, I don't, and I'm talking about like ex-Patriot organization people who had left that organization are like, I don't understand what he's doing. And it was funny because somebody, I don't want to say their name because I don't know who else they mentioned it to, but somebody called him Jafar. They're like, he's like Jafar from Aladdin. he's putting these people into a trance and he just keeps getting better jobs. But people in Houston are kind of looking at like, where did all this go sideways, particularly with Deshaun Watson? And Easterby is that guy. Like, they point at him because of all the organizational changes. And I do think they're right, because a lot of people got fired inside the organization. After Bill went out the door, there was a fresh round of firings. And frankly, a lot of black employees got fired. And from what I was told from players, they're like, look, this isn't just about whether he can impress himself on a general manager search or a head coaching search. Like, straight up, I was told that Deshaun is one of several players on the roster who feel like there were black individuals on staff in the executive layer that they felt like they could talk to, that they felt like understood them as men and not just football players. And some of those people got fired. And I think it really upset Deshaun Watson and other players. And that's part of, what I think is wrong here, that there are players who just don't trust ownership and don't trust Cal McNair. So, you know, the whole city turned on Jack Easterby because he became the convenient focal point. But I think the owner has as much to do with it, Cal McNair. But the whole thing on the table, you know, reserved for anybody that's not Jack Easterby, was probably one of the funnier things that I've seen. And in terms of the impasse, I will just tell you this. This is where this stands. Deshaun Watson's not reporting, okay? Like they cannot trade him. They can say whatever they want. But I think this guy is so dug in, he's not going to show up in the offseason for anything. And I think when the season starts, if things don't change for him where they are right now, he's not going to show up for the season. And there's a very real chance that he may look at sitting out 2021. I know people scoff at that idea, but I'm telling you, it's real. I don't think he wants to be, you know, in this organization anymore. And he feels like there are teams out there that would be willing to pay the price that they should take to offload him. So it's about as bad as I've ever seen in terms of a superstar player and an organization. I don't know if I've ever seen two sides this dug in to the point where a player the level of a Deshaun Watson could go, yeah, I'm just not going to play in 2021 and I'll figure it out.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Great to talk to you again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Take care. Absolutely. We'll be right back, react to a little bit of what Charles had to say there on the continuing saga that is Deshaun Watson in Houston. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.